This morning I had the honor of presiding at Sister Ingrid Lukkanen's funeral at the monastery at St. Scholastica. I promised that we would be praying for her and the sisters in gratitude for her life and her many years of service, even employment here at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish, and then even many years after in her continued role in volunteering. And I shared with them and just share with many of you, many of you know her, some might not. I never met her when I was here, but I knew her while I was at the college when I was helping out the last couple years in Duluth with the sisters. But she was very instrumental in what we see today in our outreach to the sick, the suffering, the elderly, and those that are homebound. And I told the sisters today, as I've mentioned before here, that I'm very proud of our outreach to such individuals, to those that otherwise could be forsaken or lost on the fringes of society, that because of her great work, we continue today to do our best to reach out to those who need a visitor or a sacrament or a friend. So maybe just a word of reminder that if you do know of anybody that's either homebound or can't come to church, to please let us know, because we take that seriously to get out and visit them. What Sister did so well, and I see so many of you doing so well today, is embracing that person that suffers. That's what our readings were about tonight. You know, the book of Job is really an embodiment of one of the great questions of all time. Why do people suffer? Why is there evil in the world? It's a question that today is one of the, I suppose you could say, greatest obstacles for some to believe in a God. Why, if there's a God who's good and loving and all-powerful, would there be suffering? Why is that? And Job lives out this conflict in this book, in the book of Job. Kind of setting the storyline up, it starts in heaven with this discussion between God and the adversary, or Satan. And God points out this great man. Look at my servant Job, how faithful he is. And the adversary says, well, it's because everything's going well in his life. And God permits him, the adversary, to take away Job's health, his wealth, and his family. He's just utterly decrepit. He's just wasting away in himself with disease. He's lonely. He is suffering to wit's end. And along come three so-called friends. And the whole book basically is a cycle of Job trying to say, hey, I'm innocent. Why am I suffering? And the friends saying, no, you sinned. That's why you're suffering. And that was kind of the Old Testament mentality at this time. If you were sick or ill, it was because you sinned. And there's this whole conversation of his friends, Job, you're a sinner, you have to realize it. Job's saying, I'm not a sinner, I'm righteous. And then God comes on the scene. And I love the line when God comes on the scene. He tells Job, gird up your loins like a man. What an intimidating thing. God just basically saying, who are you again? You're a little human being, you think? Where were you when I created the stars? Where were you when I made the wind, or the clouds, or the sky, or the earth? And what God shows Job is that he allows suffering in his own mysterious plan. That can be very frustrating for us, because we don't get suffering when it happens. It stinks. It's hard. I kind of compare suffering at times just to help myself get a little bit of an image, not to explain suffering away or justify it or say it should be easy. Kind of that cliche, we'll offer it up and everything will be okay. But to think about, if you were to take, say, a paragraph from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, where Samwise and Frodo are taken in captive, and that's all you read, you would think, boy, what a depressing story. The supposed heroes are captured and tortured while in chains, being led away to a foreign place. Well, keep reading. Or if you're a movie buff, keep watching the movie. There's a whole part of the story that can't be captured in one paragraph. Or another image perhaps that could help is, think about looking at one tiny, ugly, black, flat stone. You think, well, what's the purpose of that? That thing's ugly. Yet if you backed up far enough, you'd see this beautiful mosaic of Jesus. That one ugly little stone on its own, when looked with the whole, forms this beautiful image. It's kind of what suffering is for us. We can't understand it, this side of heaven. That's hard. It's a mystery. But it offers two facts about suffering this evening. The first, God does not cause it. God doesn't cause it. He allows it, but He doesn't cause it. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want us to be in pain. He doesn't want us to hurt. He doesn't want us to be depressed. He wants us to be joyful, healthy, happy. But in His mystery, He allows such suffering. The second fact is a word definition. Do you know what the word compassion literally means? The Latin words cum and passio mean suffer with. Compassion. Suffer with. And God shows us the compassion, not necessarily by taking suffering away, but by suffering with us. First, we see Jesus. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. He healed many who were sick with various diseases. He was with them and He cured them. But He goes so far beyond just curing people that He Himself suffered. He agonized. He hurt. He felt pain for us, to suffer with us. You know, I think there are some readings in the Bible where I think should be reserved to Monday mornings. I call them the Monday morning, just kind of, you know, those blah readings. But I think if we look at this book of Job seriously, how many times in our own lives, or perhaps today, are you here thinking, is not our life on earth a drudgery? Are not our days those of hirelings? If in bed I say, when shall I arise, then the night drags on. I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. There are times we will all suffer. There are times, perhaps right now, that you are suffering. Know that God is with you. Know that God suffers with you. He sent His Son to suffer with you. On the cross, Jesus Himself cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? To show us that we can cry out from the depths of our heart, when we're in pain, when we're in need. But that great cry of Jesus is actually a quote from a psalm, Psalm 22, a great psalm for anybody suffering, that starts off with this anguish, this tormented cry, and gradually ends with hope, with confidence. It's a prayer Jesus uttered when He suffered. It's a prayer we would do well to utter as well. Suffering, it is a mystery, it is a reality, but God does not want us to suffer, and when we do, He is there with us every step of the way.